All right, if you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going to be in the 8th chapter of Revelation this evening. And so precious how, again, just this study, the Lord continues to reveal the wonderful revelation of His Son more and more to me each and every day, and especially as we get into this Word. But this evening in this 8th chapter, we're going to go back again. The Lord's going to bring back, really from the start again, the thought of this tribulation. And some people wonder, why does the Lord continue to start again with this tribulation and bring us right back through it and talk about it and bring us right back through it? Well, you understand that there is a perfect work in what God's Word is. But, you know, He loves you and He loves me. And He's reminding us of what's going to happen here. This is serious. This isn't something that's just we talk about. This is something that was spoken about in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in Daniel, over and over throughout Revelation. And in a way, it's kind of like, and I don't mean to make light of this, it's like a bad dream. Sometimes you can't get bad dreams out of your mind. Sometimes it just doesn't flee. Well, this is a nightmare of nightmares, and it's real. And it's coming, and it's here, and it's about here, I should say. We're on the doorstep of it. It's a nightmare for those that are going to have to go through it. It's the most beautiful thing I think the Lord's ever, in a sense, continues to reveal to me I've ever seen. It's going to be the most beautiful, glorious day for those that believe and are looking and expecting Him to, you know, come and to capture His bride. That's the kickoff of the event as we know it. But praise God that He can give us peace in this time. I'm just so thankful again for the prayer and the prayers of saints for my life as well. But again, in this 8th chapter, we're going to start back again. The Lord's reminding us. And when He had opened the 7th seal, the first verse, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now I'll go ahead and stop there and we'll start with these first 6 verses. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. We've read about, we've heard about, that when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. There is coming a time, brothers and sisters, again, as we've been reading through this, and God has already brought us through this in the 6th chapter, that they are going to cry peace and safety. I believe again in my heart of hearts that there's got to be a reason for that cry of peace and safety. If you listen to the radio again today, I heard, there's not an answer. They're talking about now with all of these elections, let's throw all of them out because not any of them have an answer. I think we finally come to a time that we understand that no one has an answer. But God. But God. And this is His answer. But what's coming upon the scene, which is so wonderful, is that there's a time coming, and it's now, that someone is going to present themselves to have an answer. And the world is going to go wandering after this person. And don't think it hard to understand or hard to believe. You look at what has happened before us. And even with people in certain countries and all. And a lot of people say, well, these are dictators. They were forced to do this. Let me tell you something. Hitler was in jail. A nut. Confined. And yet got out of prison and in a span of 3 years. Had all of Germany. The great race, as they've are known, in a sense. And if you think about it, at that time, they had all of the technology. They had all of the scientists. They had all of the know-how. If it wasn't for God, let me tell you something. This world would look a lot different than it does today. Know it. But they went a-wandering after Him in how short a span of time. And look who they wandered after. And look at what His message was. You would think, well, we're too smart to believe that again. Well, how many times over and over throughout history does this have to occur for us to get it? That war is in the heart of man. And apart from God, and apart from the grace of God, there go you and there go me. And this is going to happen. And what a wonderful thing that, again, God is showing this to us. But in this time, we'll see that there was silence in heaven. And I thought as the Lord brought this to me, be still and know that I am God. Aren't you thankful right now that you have the chance by His grace to be still and to know Him? This is a time when there is going to be stillness. And let me tell you something, everybody's going to know that He is God when He gets done with it. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord. I'm just thankful by His grace that He's called me and given me a vision that I can be with Him at the time when they're bowing. And if I'll be looking for Him and loving Him, as the Word of God says, I might even have the chance, again in Revelation 3, that He will have them bow down to me. Not that I seek that, but I seek Him. And He's telling me in that Scripture how wonderful and how He loves me. And how much He wants me to share in His glory. But it's going to happen now. It's something by the grace of God. I have to say, Lord, I'm going to go now with You. I want to understand the fellowship of Your suffering. I do. I need to understand that. If you suffer with Me, you'll reign with Me. And this is where Christ is bringing His people at this time. All right, going on. So here we've had this space of this peace and safety. This man has come upon the scene. He has an answer. There's going to be a peace accord. And I think it's just on the horizon here for us. What do you think? I think it's here. By the grace of God, praise His name. I'm not trying to call it, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm looking for my Lord to appear. By His grace, I want to see Him. It's precious that He shows me when these things start to happen. Look up, for my redemption is going to be nigh. Praise His name. So here we have this again, this peace and safety time because of this one that has this false peace. Okay, so here we go on now. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And so wonderful here that these seven angels, as we've seen throughout Revelation, that these angels that are given these tasks, that are given these things to do, are not the angels like a Michael or a Gabriel. These are saints. These are redeemed saints. And so precious here that this number seven speaks of spiritual perfection. Brought my thoughts to Romans 12:2. Do you know that we have the chance to be in the good will of God? What a wonderful. And the acceptable will of God. We can even get to that. But by His grace, we can be even in the perfect will of God. This is spiritual perfection here, brothers and sisters. These are the ones that by His grace are going to be like Him. The four living ones again. As we saw there in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, those are the ones found in the very midst of the throne that will be ruling and reigning with Him. These are our same brothers and sisters that were bringing out the seals, that were opening those seals in chapter 6, that were bringing out judgment upon the earth. This is a fact. These are the things that are going to happen. By the grace of God, there is a company of believers that are going to rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's read just verses 1 and 2. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? A lot of truth in that, brothers and sisters, so let's seek peace that God may help us with that. But this is where I'm getting at, is verse 2. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? They shall judge the world. Now, a lot of saints get ahead of that, and they try to judge it right now. Let me tell you something. It's not for yours right now. God's doing that, okay? We're by His grace to love. He's judging, and I'm going to tell you right now, He's judging His people for reward. He's not judging His children as if they're going to heaven or hell. He's judging you right now for the reward that you're going to receive. I want to seek Him. I want to have His full reward. I want to be, by the grace of God, in these company of the seven angels and the four living ones that are going to be bringing forth this wonderful judgment. But the saints will judge this earth and this world with Jesus Christ. And to them were given the seven trumpets. And this is judgment. Again, talking of the priests and kings, as the Lord refers to His four living ones there back in Revelation chapter 4, that we are priests and kings unto God. And these are the trumpet judgments that we will be reading later on tonight. And another angel came. Now here we have another angel. And he stood at the altar. having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Well, we understand here that the only angel that could be offering our prayers has to be the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this obviously is a future vision up in heaven during that tribulation time, that it shows that Christ is offering this prayer bowl, the censer, the incense that was in that. But do you realize that right now that the Lord Jesus Christ is offering your prayers before God? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. He is there 100% to make intercession for you. He hears you. By the grace of God, let this be so personal to us that Jesus Christ, His whole function is to make petition for us before His Father. When we pray in accordance with the will of God, you can't imagine the power that occurs in our life. You may say, well, I've been praying about something for so long. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It got answered so long ago. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows your downsetting. He knows your uprising. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your request. God withholds nothing good from His children. And He's answered it. Now, do we believe Him for that? Amen. Oh, I pray we do. I pray that in God's name that we truly do know that He has answered this. But so wonderful here that we see Jesus Christ coming, standing at the altar, and knowing that He is our high priest, knowing that He is before God at this time, saying again, Lord, Thy will be done. Having a golden censer. Again, there was much incense in that. And it's so precious that we're going to see that these are the prayers that He's offering up. Our prayers. But do you realize that we need the intercession of His incense? We need that of Christ's intercession in order for anything to go up before God. See, a lot of people think out there that you can just pray right to God. It doesn't work. You have to pray in the name of His Son Jesus. Everything acceptable to God has to come through His Son. The only way that I can ever come to God is through His Son. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's salvation in no other name. There's no other way that I can be heard. But I am heard immediately. I am before the throne immediately in the name of His Son. Isn't that a wonderful comfort? Just knowing that in a moment, in the name of Jesus, I'm before that throne. I've said it many times before I come out here. By the grace of God, I'm on my knees, I'm worshiping the King, knowing that He loves me, knowing that He will be all sufficiency, all ability. If I'll be an empty vessel, He'll fill it up and He'll pour it out by His grace. I have full confidence in Him. The throne was in there and the throne's right out here because we're in the name of His Son. That's our Jesus. That's all powerful. I want that throne in my car. I want that throne in my home. I want that throne at my work. I don't want to be anywhere in life without the throne. Like we talked about Sunday, Elijah found that throne right underneath that juniper tree, didn't he? How could it be that juniper tree? There was no shade in that juniper tree. There was nothing in that. Naturally speaking, that I really felt that that juniper tree was the place that I needed to be before the throne. But it just so happened it was the throne. God had him right where He wanted him to be. And when we, as we were talking before we even started this meeting, when I learn to enjoy the Lord and get into the joy of the Lord as my strength, I'll tell you what, I'm in the throne room. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how tired I am. It doesn't matter how frustrated I am. It doesn't matter how pressed beyond measure I am. In the joy of the Lord, when I'm enjoying Jesus Christ in my life, I'm in the throne room. Okay? Praise His name. And we're seeing the sight of the throne room right now. We are seeing the sight of the throne room by the grace of God, where someday we hope to be in joint reigning with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, again, we have to understand, brothers and sisters, we have to get out of our mind. It's so limited, isn't it? It limits us. Now are we the sons of God. Amen. Now are you the Son of God. I am seated together with Him in the heavens right now. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Then live it. Then live it. And this is a seat that's being offered to each and every one of His children. A full knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. The will was what? all men be saved and all men come to a full knowledge of the truth. Amen. This is full knowledge. Blessed are ye that get into this book. Blessed are ye that get into Revelation and understand the beauty of my Son, which is going to come upon this earth. Hallelujah. All right. So we see here that again, that much incense was given to him, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And what's so precious about this altar of incense, that I don't know if you remember this, but when we studied the book of Hebrews, we talked much about that tabernacle that was in the wilderness. It just so happens that the altar of incense was the closest item to the veil going into the Holy of Holies. Okay? The beautiful thing about that is, even though there was that veil at that time, and we understand when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died, that veil was rent in twain. Praise His name. Get chills thinking about it. I mean it. Praise His name. And I got to go right into the throne room. Hallelujah. Unobstructed, and I'm there. But even when that veil was there, that altar of incense was smoking of that incense, wasn't it? Speaking again of Christ's petitions for us. And that fragrance so sweetly would fill that room, and it would seep through the curtain as well too. Right into the very mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah. Right into the very presence of God. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, it's by grace now. It was by grace back then. Don't think it was any other way. It's just so wonderful that He unveiled that for us. He took the veiling off, praise God, that we could come into an understanding of this revelation. What a privilege, what a wonder that God can bring us into this kind of fellowship with Him. So here we see that in the fourth verse, that the smoke of this incense, which came in with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And again, this is the prayers of the saints. This is again the prayers of the saints saying, Lord, let's bring this judgment out. Again, a lot of people don't understand. God is going to glorify His Son in everything. He is. He's going to glorify Him in everything. He's going to glorify Him with His people when they're standing in the midst, right? Round about, and even before the throne. And He's going to glorify His Son even in judgment. And you have to understand this, that there has to be judgment in order for that complete glorification to happen. There has to be a price that is paid. There has to be a judgment again that is given unto those that do not accept the Lord as Savior. It's going to happen. That's what that prepared lake of fire is going to be. His Son will be magnified in that. God's not going to be mocked. It's not going to happen. We don't want to see one soul, by the grace of God, end up in that place. But you know what? His will was that all men be saved. But we understand that that is His will, and we have a choice because God gave us free will, didn't He? And we have the choice to be in the will of God or not to be in the will of God. And even as Christians, once we accept Christ as Savior, see, that's the Spirit-filled life that we talk about so much in this place. When I live the Spirit-filled life by His grace, I can get such in the will of God that I can continue in it. I can abound in it. By the grace of God, I can be in harmony with that will. And so wonderful here that you see that anything in the name of Jesus is acceptable and sweet to God. He hears you. Do you see this? Do you see that this incense with this prayer, this is going on today. He's there. He's at the very right hand of God. And He's there for me. Amen. And He's there for you. Amen. And He is a personal God, isn't He? Mm-hmm. Talk about it a lot of times. I've heard people say, well, can you imagine the lines in heaven? There ain't no lines in heaven. Uh-uh. There isn't. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's my personal God. Hallelujah. I was thinking, I'm going to have a body like unto His own too someday. And you know what? When I see Him, I'm going to be like Him. And you know, I'm going to be omniscient. I'm going to be omnipresent someday too. Amen. Amen. Oh, the benefits. Oh, the benefits. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to hold Him. Praise God. But the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Again, how God so loves us that He's even put the very prayers, our very prayers are in the hand of His Son, Jesus does care. Make sure you understand that. When you have something in your hand and you're holding it so dearly and so sweetly, and again, as God tells us so clearly, that as a child of God, we are in His Son's hand. And His Son's hand's in God's hands. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's how secure, that's how safe we are. And going into verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. This is so precious that the fire is God's answer of the judgment to the prayers. These prayers are praying for this time to come. There's anticipation. I think as by the grace of God, God calling me into His best, I have anticipation for this time. If there's anything I get a little anxious about, it's Christ coming. Joe a minute ago told me I was dead. I was getting excited. Amen. I wasn't kidding. I don't want to scare my family, but they know by His grace. Oh, I know it's better if I depart. Oh, hallelujah. Just to see Him, to look upon His face, to gaze into the eyes of the One who saw me on that cross. Oh, I can't imagine. And He made it that way, that it hadn't even entered into my heart, my mind, or anything. What God has prepared for me, because by His grace, I love Him. That's my Lord. That's the reason why we want to see Him. That's the reason why I can get up in the morning and I can look for Him and say, Lord, I'm looking for Your coming. Lord, I want to see You. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, again, God has given me such a wonderful natural life. I'm so thankful of the family I've had. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. The thing God has allowed me to experience in my life. But it's under His hand. And by His grace, I'm looking for Him this evening. I want to see Him. I know everything's pale into comparison to when I hold and behold my Lord. Oh, yes. It's great when we want to see Him when things are great, isn't it? How much more you even want to see Him when things are going a little bit not so great, huh? But let Him have you looking up for Him. Hallelujah. But again, the angel took the censer and he filled it with the fire of the altar and he cast it upon the earth. And this is that judgment being cast out. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And I thought again, here's these seven angels preparing themselves to sound. Well, this is the perfected saints. The bride has made herself ready. You're going to learn to prepare yourself right now, brothers and sisters, for His coming, aren't you? She's made herself ready. There's something going on. God is about looking for a people for His namesake, for His Son. He's seeking worshipers that worship His Son and worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the true worshiper. Not just spirit. We can get all excited about a lot of things. Not just truth. A lot of times we just get that and we don't get the love of the Spirit in our life. A lot of times we'll dry up. But again, both of them together to grow up into Him, to be ready, to be willing, to be that vessel that God can use in a loving way, knowing that, hallelujah, He's for us. I was thinking again today how, praise God, I have had a couple different couples on my heart, having some issues, having some problems. And, you know, I think if anybody's married long enough, you're going to have some issues, you're going to have some problems. Let God strip you. Let Him just take everything by His grace and let Him just keep stripping and peeling away all that stuff. And you know, after you get down to it, all you are is standing before the Lord. All the stuff, all the finances, all the other maybe ugly stuff that's been there and all that, it's behind you. Did you know that? God said, forgetting those things which are behind, I laid them off. That's a dead man back there. And I'm new in Him. I'm new in Him. And I just saw myself standing there before Him and I said, well, thank You, Lord. I'm just here. It's just me. And you know what? That's my sister too. By the grace of God, that would be my wife as well too. When I can stand before Him stripped by the grace of God, when she can stand before Him purely, purely and truly humbled before the Lord, we've got something. Because my confidence is in Him. I've brought nothing except by the grace of God, anything that He's given me. Well, anything that He's given me is spiritual. All this stuff of this world, it's going to pass away. It's going to be gone. we get so hung up on things. We get so hung up on the past. By the grace of God, look at what this power of prayer that's in agreement with God's love brings. It's power. Matthew 21, 22, what's it say there? Anything that ye ask believing? Huh? He'll give it to you. Believing, what is believing? Believing's in His Word. I pray in accordance with the Word of God, it's going to come to pass. I pray in accordance with the will of God, it's going to come to pass. Do you understand that? I do not know if I'm praying for $1 million to end up in my bank account if that's the will of God. Unless He sovereignly told me. And I hadn't got the call today. But I do know it's the will of God. It's this. And it's very evident. And I pray according to this, and mighty power and wonderful things happen in my life. It's true. You want to live miracle? Live in accordance with the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's go on. Verse 7. These are the trumpets. These are the sorrows. There are seven trumpets that are going to sound, just like the seven seals. And by the way, this is actually the seventh seal. I didn't mention that to you as well. The sixth seal stopped at the sixth chapter. We had a reprieve there in the seventh chapter that God was showing John something else. Now we got back into the seventh seal. Now isn't it amazing again that the seventh seal started again from the beginning of the tribulation? See, don't try to make all of this chronological in order. Do you understand that? Has a perfect order. It's got a perfect pattern. God is trying to tell you something. Man tries to put God in a box. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. This has to be spiritually discerned. He's bringing it over to us. Why do you think He brings it over to us again? I know one reason for me. I'm weak. I'll forget real quick again. Son, you know what? Let's bring it over again. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Praise God. The foundation built in our life. The foundation that's going to be built if we'll get into this revelation that will be real to our life. So here comes this first trumpet of judgment, the beginning of judgments. The first angel sounded. And I love this. This is just like the four angels back there in chapter 6 that were opening the seals, that were actually bringing out the judgment, that were actually pouring out the reigning judgment upon the earth. This is the bride of Christ right here. Hallelujah. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and the green grass was burned up. Now this again is after that brief time of peace and safety passed. Do you see how it was a false peace? And now it's building up. Now it's starting to go. You know, I had a... oh, it's kind of funny. I was in a business situation one time, and God's given me such a sweet man. And I've mentioned to him to you out in California, and he's a Jewish man, and I love him so dearly. He has four children, and two of them have come to know Christ Jesus as Savior. When I first met the man, his first, and that was over 21 years ago, his son, his first son was giving his heart to the Lord. Oh, it wasn't good. Jesus is a bad man. He's breaking up my family. Can you imagine what's going on? Well, about 10 years later, Jesus became a good guy because he saw what he was doing in the life of that son. He saw that that son was becoming a different person than the rest of his family. What I tried to explain to him is his son actually was alive. He said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, because you're dead right now. You're dead in sin. You're dead in sin. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're dead in sin. Just no other way to put it. I love you, but that's what it is. And if I really love you, I'm going to tell you that. He said, you mean there's a hell for me? I said, well, there's a hell, but I pray to God it's not for you. God didn't want anybody to perish in it. God didn't want anybody to be in that lake of fire. But you know what? He prepared it because He knew, obviously, being omniscient, that there would be some that would not believe. And many. It's a place prepared. But so wonderful is this man encouraged, again, different things in my life that God just divinely put there. I always thought, in a way, I'm entertaining angels, but I know he's flesh by the grace of God, and I know he needs him as his Savior. But one of the things that was kind of funny, and I'll jump to the point of it, is I was having a business situation. And there were some bad dudes out there. And they were trying to be bad to me. But I knew God had me. They thought they had me in a corner. They were digging a pit. And I'm going to tell you, I saw the handiwork of God, and I saw them fall in it. And unfortunately for them sakes is that pit's getting deeper, and they're falling deeper in it every day. But you know what he told me? He said, you know, it's kind of like rats. He said, you ever seen rats? I said, no, I really haven't, not too much. He said, no, they're just like rats. You know, they're holding hands, and they're singing, and having a big time, and their eyes are closed, kind of, he said. And then they kind of open their eyes a little bit, and they notice that there's a rat holding their hand. And then they start chewing on that hand. And then they start fighting with one another, and that type of thing. Well, that's kind of what the Lord was showing me here is, you know what? That beast that's going to rise up, that son of perdition, as they say, the Antichrist, as he's starting to work with others, there's that pride that comes up. They realize that there's another rat that's next to them, and they got to kill that rat. And they've got to get over that rat and all of these types of things. Do you see, but for the grace of God, where you would go to? I'd be just like that. Because I know what's in me. I know what's in this flesh. But this is what's happening here, is it all starts to break loose because it's going to be put into one man, and that man wants it. Mm-hmm. And we've read about him a little bit, and we'll read about him further if Jesus tarry. But again, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there's going to be a lot of blood we're going to read about. And there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. There's going to be famine we've read about already. There's going to be drought. We already talked about how people will have to work a full day just for one meal. Man's going to have to come back to his family and figure out how they're going to share it up. Word of God even talks about people eating their own flesh and eating their own kids again. People seek death and they can't find it. Don't just be in denial of this stuff. Know who you are. Do you know this stuff's going on in the world today? God gives us glimpses of it. What do you think is going on in many of these countries today? What do you think that many of these dictators do to their people? That's what sin does. And this is the epitome of this sin when it's going to be unleashed. That devil's going to be unleashed fully someday. When he who hinders is taken out of the way, as we've been reading, when that bride of Christ is taken up into glory, hallelujah, it's going to break loose. He's going to be cast out of heaven. He's going to be completely cast out. He's going to be gone and thrown upon the earth. He knows he's got a short time now, but then he knows that the clock is just almost wound down. He's on a timer. He knows it's 7 years. He's got an actual time. Never really thought about that. That's why he's going to be so angry. Full of mischief. That's going to be full force. Amen. All right. So again, you have this destruction going on. The second trumpet. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood. This mountain, if you go into Ezekiel, talks about this being peoples. And you'll see that this, again, this bloody sea, the third of man is going to be killed. We've read that again before. This is going to be the precursor of the war. When I say the war, this Armageddon that's going to happen. All of these things coming to pass. The third part of the creatures that were in the sea. It's going to devastate mankind. It's going to devastate the animal kingdom. It's going to devastate everything that had life died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. This, a lot of people kind of think about, well, what does this ship mean? Why did they bring in the ships? Well, this is speaking about the merchandise and the commerce. See, back then at this time, the big ports and all of those things, that's where they did all of their trade. That's how all of their monies and things were exchanged at that time. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a crimp in a lot of people's pocketbooks. Why do you think they get so nasty? Huh? Yeah. It's going to all come crashing down. They're going to throw their money in the streets. There's coming a time it's going to just blow up. They said that the stock market so many years ago, 5 years ago? Remember they said it was just like cotton candy? Really, you know, it wasn't real and all that? They're going to find out this whole thing's been cotton candy. I'm going to tell you. So I say, don't lay up your riches here. Store them up in heaven. the moth don't get them, the rust don't get it. A man can't steal it. It's there forever. Lay it up there. All right, the third trumpet and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. Now this great star that fell from heaven, burning as a lamp, is Satan himself. And I'd like to, well, if you even jump over to the first verse of chapter 9, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him it was given the key of the bottomless pit. Again, this is all transpiring because the bride is taken out of the way. The devil is going to have full fury. He's going to have full force for a period of time. God's going to allow him to unleash that force upon this earth. There's going to be the trial and such burning temptation in people's lives that's going to come full force here. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11:14. That's 2 Corinthians 11:14. Read a little bit more about this one. Let's actually go to the 13th verse. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And we've already seen people do this throughout, at least even my lifetime. And no marvel. Don't marvel at this. Don't get excited about it. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So you can see that there is a false light, and he's a great false light. And he can do that, and there's not a problem here. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. It's Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. This is some of the most exciting things to me when I get a read. Again, something that was written by the prophets of God, again, that are coming to pass now. You can see how the Lord does, as the one brother said, connect all these dots for us. But we'll go into the 12th verse of the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou seals up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We're going to be reading about Satan here, so just stay with me. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Satan was there, wasn't he? Who is that serpent? Remember that? Okay, now let's keep reading. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Satan was the most beautiful thing ever created in a lot of ways. You see what I'm saying? Given everything. God had a plan. Still does. Thank you, Lord. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in the ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee. This is the time that we're reading of here. This is the time of this coming. I'd like you to read over with me again Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Read a little bit more about this. There's so many other references in the Word of God. I'm just pointing out a few. I believe that I just want the Spirit leading us to not bog down, but at the same time, hopefully continues to whet our appetite to go back in through the Word of God and to search these things to see that they're so. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that thou didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, this is Satan. He still thinks. You see what I'm saying? This is how wicked this guy is. Did everything to keep Christ off that cross. He knew he was done then. But he still got an attitude. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You can see when you start saying I in your life, you got a problem. Probably the enemy. Start thinking of your brother. Most importantly, start thinking of the Lord. Huh? There's little subtleties in the Word of God that a lot of meaning. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, Satan, to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee, shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all them that lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of thou, those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. That's where he's going to be. All right. Let's continue on with the thought here. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the mountains, upon the fountains of waters. The fountains of waters. Ironic. Living waters, huh? It's precious. It speaks of the Word of God, and it is living. It's alive. The Word says to drink it up. You drink of me, you'll never thirst again. But see, this is a poison. And there's somewhat of a poison, obviously. The evil of man's waxing worse and worse. People are believing a lie even today, but he's going to give them up completely to believe a lie. Uh-huh. They're going to follow their vain imaginations. They're doing that today. We're caught into man's philosophy. What do you think's coming out of most pulpits today? How many Bible studies really get into the Word of God? I spoke to a lady yesterday. Her name's Sarah. I'd ask you to lift her up in prayer. Sweet Christian woman. God's dealing with her about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that she'll allow the Lord to continue to work that in her life. She says, I've never really seen it. Do you believe God will withhold something from me that He didn't want me to have? I said, absolutely not. If you'll be believing and open your heart to Him, He'll give you everything. Everything's got a season. I don't know when it'll be, sister, but I know the Lord wants to give you everything. He said, I want you to come to a full knowledge of my truth. Amen. But I also know by the grace of God that He's got a body there. And we're all members of that body, one of another, and He's got us placed perfectly in that body. But by His grace, He's put a message upon my heart that I want people to go after God's best. I don't want us to stop short, brothers and sisters. I want us to keep moving on, keep pressing on. And I look for the day and I can see it. It's getting more clear. We'll kind of nudge each other and we'll say, I told you so. I told you so. It was worth it. Amen. Can you imagine? I'm just thinking again in my office today. I said, someday, Lord, I'm going to get up. Maybe it's off my knees. Maybe it's out of my bed. I'm just going to turn and You're going to be there. And it's going to be there. He's going to be there. Thank you, Lord. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Wormwood is bitter. It's a bitter plant. Grows in the waste in the desert. There's nothing good about it. Little leaven leavens the whole lump anyways, doesn't it? You know? That's why I say don't get air in your doctrine. By the grace of God, open up to the Lord. He said, even if you be otherwise minded about something, I'll even reveal that to you. Have a true heart before Him. Don't try to press your desires in the way you think something needs to be. Say, God, reveal it to me. I appreciate Brother Hill's testimony as when he came to the Lord. Remember that so vividly. I can hear him saying. He said how the Lord saved him and he had that wonderful uncle that was a man of God. He was a preacher. He said, I'll tell you what, son, it's wonderful that you came to the Lord. Make sure you stay away from Pentecost. Make sure you stay away from those that believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit by the evidence of speaking in tongues. That was the lady I was speaking to last night. I said, well, she said, I am having trouble though. Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? Well, we'd not so much even heard of the Spirit. And she said, yeah, and about those disciples. She knew the Word. She said, He's with you and He shall be in you. She says, I really do believe the Lord's showing me that there is a difference. You're not just filled with the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Now, you could be shortly thereafter. There's some people that'll tell you. But see, by the grace of God, we want to have the full truth. We want the Word of truth. We want it built in our lives. We don't want to build. See, it's just like, again, building the church. You heard him say about how bringing these trusses up together and how they put them little shims in over there. And you can see a few of them. They're so small, maybe a 16th, a 32nd of an inch. And they were shoving them down in there. They said, well, why are you doing that? Why are you putting that little piece in there? Because if I don't put it in up there, by the time it gets up there, it's going to be 3 feet off. If I don't put this in here fully, by the time he meets you in the air, I'm going to be standing here looking around still. And I don't want to be 3 feet off. I don't. I want to be right on. I want to be right on. There's a more perfect way. They even said it to Apollos, and he was a man of great zeal for the things of God, wasn't he? This is important stuff. Very, very important. Surgeon coming to do an operation on me, I would hope that he'd follow the way you're supposed to do it and be disciplined in what he's doing. How much more so the Word of God. But the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, just mark that down. He'll give them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. They're going to wander after this one. There's even going to be Christians that even talks about it this time that'll even start to look at this thing to think that, man, maybe this is the guy. It's going to be so close. It's going to be so near to what a lot of things could be, but it's not going to be him. Know what's going on. We'll try to tackle this last two verses here. I kept you a little bit over, but bear with me. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, as to the third part of them was darkened. The day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This is the smoke from the battle. Turn with me real quick over to Isaiah chapter 13, 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 13. Right. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. It's coming. It really is. It's going to be. I think about how people say, oh, well, how could the stars fall, and how could all this? Let me tell you something. John was writing this thing. And, I don't mean to laugh because it's a horrible thing going on right now. I mean, how many Katusha rockets have they thrown over there? 4,000, 4,500? They sent like 300 in a span of 15 minutes. But y'all have seen, firework displays and things like that. They say when you're seeing those things coming over, it looks like meteors coming at you and all of these different things. And those are just these Katusha rockets that don't have any guidance on them. You hadn't seen nothing yet. They said shock and awe when they had the Iraq thing going on. Oh, we rocked them and shook them and all of these types of things. I believe that's some of the precursor of the earthquake that the God's talking about here. Whether it's a literal earthquake, I don't know. They have things even today called cobalt bombs. They say that they can put about two or three even in the structure of the earth and could actually crack the core of the earth. Put it out of orbit. People get really fearful about that stuff. I say, but for God, short in those days, there won't be any flesh left on it. You think that's maybe why he needs to make it new also? Because we've destroyed it so much? Because we maybe have alleged global warmings. Maybe we have all of these different things. I appreciate this wonderful earth. I'm so thankful. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to take care of these different things that God has given us. I think we should. But you know what? It's in his hand. Don't get bent out of shape about stuff like that. God doesn't want you looking at that. He wants you looking up. Amen. It's coming so soon, brothers and sisters. It's such a wonderful thing. God's laying out his handiwork to us. His handiwork is you and me. And it is. That's really the masterpiece. And this is the masterpiece that he's calling us into. It's so wonderful. It's so absolutely wonderful. And he says in this 13th verse, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe." See, we've gotten four trumpets. Those were the sorrows. Now come the three trumpets, which are the woes. "To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." It's awful at this time, isn't it? Pretty horrible what's happened. But again, they hadn't seen nothing yet. Hadn't even entered into the Armageddon yet. You get into the chapter 19 of Revelation, and I get real excited about that because it says, "And God prepared for battle there, and His army was with Him." And it's an army of saints, brothers and sisters. It's exciting stuff. So exciting. Let's stand for prayer.